from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Welcome to the GoodAtheist.net podcast. My name is Jacob Forte.
And I'm Ryan Harkness.
And today we celebrate the fact that I am about to return to the Great White North, to where the snow is, to where I was born.
To where the internet is, more importantly, which is what I'm really excited about.
Yeah, more internet. You know what? On the eve of my departure, it makes me think about all the things you take for granted in a first world country. And among those, it's not even electricity, because I wouldn't even care that sometimes the electricity would just go out for a while and just come back on. That didn't even bug me. It was
kind of. I imagine that's kind of quaint a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and sometimes you need that anyways. Just unplug yourself to just say, I am not going to touch my computer. I'm not going to listen to any electronic device. I'm just going to fucking light a candle and maybe play a game of cards in the candlelight. Isn't that nice? I mean, I've had some nice memories with playing some cards and some candlelight. Just going to put that out there.
I'm not going to ask where it went, but yeah, that sounds nice.
Anyways, it really was the internet, and I guess it just made me, it made me see where my home is, and where my home is where the internet is, and that's where I have to go. That's unfailingly, it is my home, and I missed it. That's what I
missed. But I do want to point one thing out, is it isn't so much the Dominican Republic's internet, because you right now are still in the DR. You're just at a friend's house who has a better setup, and it's just your specific place had the worst internet ever. And, you know, to me, it's actually quite impressive that we use Skype, and we complain about Skype because, you know, sometimes there's a half-second delay, and it really throws off the show. It makes it hard to do the back and forth, and it results in the talking over thing sometimes. But we're literally complaining about a fraction of a second's delay when you are in a country that is literally next to Haiti, a place which is a black hole of despair and horribleness and everybody dying and just disease that should not be killing people, and et cetera. And yet, here we are talking over this, producing podcasts, maybe not as many as we should be able to, but still producing some nonetheless. I say that's pretty impressive. Go humanity.
We're making strides, slowly but surely.
Indeed.
There's a couple things that made me think, when I go back about my experience in general. Because I was still in what you would probably consider the resort town of Dominican Republic, where just all the gringos go. You're not taking a lot of risks. Most people talk English, and that's the way it goes. But really, you just don't have a choice. I mean, as bad as the internet was, I was still able to do stuff. It's just not really Skype with you. I had the internet that you had when you had like a 14K baud modem sometimes. That's what I had. It's just disconnection city, waiting on images, those kinds of things. And really, for me, that was the part that kind of pissed me off almost just as bad. It burns when the internet is slow. You're saying, like, oh, I want to do some research. You're like, it's too fucking bad, because at any point, the internet will disconnect when you're doing something and not come back for hours, and you don't even care anymore by then. You're like, I'm doing something else. I put down the computer and just started reading, and boy, man, that's what I did. That is what I did a lot. I remember mostly being completely and utterly buried in my new Kindle and loving it. Fucking loving that thing.
It's pretty sweet. I must say, we aren't sponsored by Kindle by any means. We're not that high and mighty, but I definitely recommend that device. It is awesome.
Yeah, I find that the advantage, the best way that I can describe it is why do I like it? It's just because, number one, I can control the way that it looks and operates. So the font, so everything has the same font and the same size. So all books for me, I can just eat them up. I don't have to get acclimatized to whatever font spacing. This is a problem when you read as many books as I do. Is you just get, you start having like you start getting confused because you're having to put up with the artistic stylings of the way the book is put together. You're just like, I don't want to bother with that shit. I want information, raw. Put it in my brain. I'll do the fucking rest. Here's something that I thought was kind of, well, it's not weird, but it's unusual because I don't see that where we're from, was a couple of street preachers with their microphones and their boomboxes going over and just sort of preaching the word of the Lord, just, you know, run-of-the-mill stuff. There's a hell, it's real. Love God.
So they were doing the hellfire thing.
Well, not as strongly. I mean, around there, most people have, like, shirts are saying, like, God is love, which then ranges to God is Lord, or sometimes to Master, which makes me uncomfortable. It's like, hey, there's a bunch of black guys down here who says that a 2,000-year-old Jewish guy is their master. Say nothing. Say nothing and walk away. But still, I mean, you know, it made you think. It makes you think. How many times are you just walking around and someone's just gonna, from a loud, loud speakerphone, just start telling you about science or the universe or the natural world or evolution or any of those other things? No, it's always got to be the crazies who go out diligently and start talking to people. And you know what? That has an impact, man. That still has a damn impact. That's how scary it is. They're the ones out there doing the work. They're spreading nonsense. And what are we doing? What are we
doing? Well, you know, we do have Anonymous, like, and they set up, and other people have set up. Remember when the homeopathy overdose happened outside of some pharmacies? They had a whole bunch of people just drinking entire things of homeopathic pills.
True.
To make a point. So there's a couple. When I was dithering around in the atheism scene, which I haven't gotten to do lately because I've been too busy dealing with some other business stuff, I was kind of playing around with the idea of starting up some kind of action group that would be kind of into proselytizing through straight and or humorous and or what would be the word here? Not illegal, perhaps illegal, but at the very least,
oh boy,
controversial methods.
Did you have to say that?
The spread of science, anti-religion, etc.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of? A project that I had started back. Oh, when was it? Do you remember 2006 when before Good Atheist was in my brain, and it was something I called Project Unchurch? Remember Unchurch?
I do remember Unchurch, and I remember when you were planning on becoming a minister. I think we have radio shows where you're like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
1 year later.
Yeah. That's the famous, that must be kind of like the in-joke of the show. Jacob just rarely says what he's going to do. That's probably true, yeah. There you go, truism about myself. Don't say that there's no soul-searching going on in the shows, folks. Always soul-searching going on. broader lesson that I, as I leave to, and the one thing that kind of freaks me out, well, it's not freaks me out, it's just something you got to get used to when you travel, is corruption. That it's just a natural part of your day, that you just have to be aware of it, and then after that it's all good. Like if you get pulled over and the cop talks to you, it's you didn't do nothing, he just wants your money. So that's not something that you're just kind of like, you're like, what's going on here? Why is this cop, why does he want to extort me? What's happening? And you're just like, that's just the way it goes, man. That's just the way it goes.
How many times did you get shaken down?
No, I didn't get shaken down because I play smart. Like, number one, I always wear a helmet. That's how they always get you. Because nobody wears helmets except for when the cops decide they want to take some money from you.
Very nice.
So that's just how it goes. And if you're that unlucky gringo, you can either pay them $1,000 then and they just rip up your ticket, or you can pay $1,500 pesos, sorry, not dollars, pesos, and go pick it up at the next town over. So those are your two options.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it made me a little bit uncomfortable. I did have to learn how to bargain, too. That was a weird thing. As a person living in North America, we are not accustomed to bargaining. We just pay the price that is on the price tag. You don't go over to the guy at Future Shop or Best Buy and you're saying like, hey buddy, can you knock off 30% off that because of me, and I'm going to do lots of business with you and blah blah blah. That doesn't happen. So what you're left with is an inability to interact with the emerging world, because that's how they do business. If you pay whatever price they said at first, you're a sucker. They're gonna target you, try to sell you all kinds of junk, way too much. You're like, anything they charge you first, if they see the whiteness of your skin, is like 75% inflation. And they always look surprised when you know that. Be like, uh-oh, you know, I'm getting out of here. So that was the thing that you had to learn.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll be happy being somewhere that makes a lot more sense.
It's just easier when you don't have to negotiate, because then you can just think, how much do I need to save up? But at the same time, there's something kind of nice, satisfying maybe. That's why maybe some people keep doing it. Satisfying of trying to work out a bargain for yourself. That if you just can't, I mean, it forces you to interact with somebody else. We hate doing it. But at least when you do it and you manage to do it well, I think I managed to do that well once. And after that, I was like, oh, I feel like a superstar. Look at me. I am Mr. International. I was able to barter.
And not get shaken down. Very nice.
Not get shaken down, yeah. I'm a living joke. Okay, today on the show, we're going to talk about two subjects. The first one is Ray Comfort appearing on The Atheist Experience. And we're going to just talk a little bit about some of the things he said. If you haven't listened to the show, I don't even know if we need to give you a synopsis. I think that just us talking about what he said will give you that synopsis. And we're going to follow that up with talking about the Vatican crying to the Human Rights Council, the UN, that they're being discriminated against, and we'll find out why. But first, let's talk about Ray Comfort on The Atheist Experience. Now, you know, as you all know, or probably most of you know by now, we did not win Best Podcast at About.com's thing. I think we even actually ended up third.
Well, I don't think we deserved it right at this exact point because of all of the missing shows and this and that like that. I feel like I'm down for us losing this time, and maybe next time we can get it. And plus, Atheist Experience is like an actual community television program as well. And afterwards, they all go out for dinner. And how can you compete with dinner?
It's really true. It's something I realized that it's very hard to compete. They are somewhat of an industry. We're just two dudes trying to get it done. But still, at the same time, I was a little bit disappointed. I would have at least liked to come in second.
Who
just a boast.
Who came in
boast.
Second?
I think it was Reasonable Doubt, actually. They were trailing for a while, and then they seemed to... It's like one of those classic Olympic things. We managed to hustle in early, get a lead, and then we were crushed, and we gassed, but we limped to the finish line to collect our bronze.
As usual, we did the promotion for telling people to vote in our standard half-assed way. So, what can you do?
It matched essentially our promotional style and everything that we do, actually. That was very much us. So while I had to contemplate about what we're like, and maybe some of those things that I don't enjoy... That was my time here, actually, by the way. I think that's the final contemplation of life in the DR. It's really just... I got to think about some of the things that I want to do and get ready to start doing them.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, so Ray Comfort is on The Atheist Experience, and I think it's nice of them to really sort of, like, come off that win with an impressive guest host. And I mean impressive by the fact that it is impressive the amount of content that you can just get out of this man, of just things that you can talk about. That is the one thing, I mean, you got to give for Ray, old Ray. He'll make you talk. He's wonderfully ludicrous. It's like the things that he says.
Well, this was my problem with the interview, because, you know, I give props to Atheist Experience for getting Ray Comfort on there, and I give them props for dealing with him and arguing with him and putting up with all of his idiocy, but they didn't allow him to do the one thing that I was really hoping for, because it was a very contentious interview. You know, it was generally polite, but they were getting pretty uppity quite a bit. But they never really allowed Ray Comfort to really hang himself, because as soon as he would start going off on a tangent, they would cut in on him, and they would hit him at his first stupid point. You know, Ray Comfort's the kind of guy who'll hang himself with a banana if you give him 3 minutes. And he never really got a chance to get going. And there was a lot of nitpicking about small issues rather than really kind of getting him on larger generalities.
Well, you know what? Here's the one issue that I sensed was the opportunity that was kind of missed. I remember at one point he was mentioning the fact that science keeps changing the age of the Earth. He's like, look at what's been happening in the past 100 years. How many times you've changed the age of the Earth and so on and so forth. So he's like, you've changed by billions of years. And I think that for Ray Comfort, it made me see that I kind of got to think like Ray Comfort for a couple seconds because I could detect something. He seemed to confuse this whole process, like the margin of error of science, right, where science says, well, we're relatively sure of the age of the universe within 200 million years. That's generally give or take, right?
Mm-hmm.
The age of the universe. And that's hard for people to kind of believe. They don't think that the margins of science, the error margins, can sometimes range from such huge numbers. You're like, those 100 million years is a long time for a human being. We consider that to be a huge margin. Didn't you think that we knew the day of the existence of the universe?
I thought that it was a possibility at one point. I think we were talking about it on the show, and I had heard something about maybe we did know, but or at the very least, we had put one out there as our kind of like this could be it.
No,
we had
no way.
No,
we're not even that close.
But I'm happy with 100 to 200 million. I'm perfectly happy with that number.
It's not bad. I think it's a good number, it's especially given the fact that, okay, when you admit where the margin comes from, you're just, this is a process of science and it's bare naked honesty about itself. In this fact that you're like, we have a margin of error, we are not sure, we're not certain, science is doing its thing, that's what it does. But for Ray, he's like, well, you have these errors. You keep changing your story. You have no certainty. How can you think that you're right? I, on the other hand, am certain of everything that I believe in. Ta-da! I'm certain. I'm like, I must be correct because I'm certain of what I believe. You're like, wow. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. Like he doesn't understand that if you want to get and understand why is science better than religious thought is because we have an understanding of the margins of errors of what we say. Like there is a margin of error of a certain amount when trying to describe like how does space and time exist. Well, we have an explanation. It has a margin of error. It's not complete. There needs to be some refinement. But who thinks that you're just going to be like, well, you have margins of error here. Obviously, you're wrong. I believe that the spaghetti monster in the sky did it, and I'm really certain of that, and therefore, I'm right.
Yeah, and that's kind of the unfortunate. That's one of those areas that I wish they had kind of probed in with him, you know, is the idea of discussing the idea of all the different religions in the world and how you can be sure. You know, there's a whole bunch of other people who are just as sure about their cockamamie ideas from different religions. And you are all using the same type of evidence. So how are you any different from them? And how are they wrong where you're right?
Every time you have that conversation, it always goes back down to the one thing they just bring up again and again and again. And it's the Bible. It will always come back to that thing. You'll always find yourself debating the Bible. I swear to you, there is no more annoying book in the history of mankind in the Bible. It is seriously annoying. Are you not just annoyed sometimes where you're having a conversation? I remember that one with that Jehovah Witness from way, way, way back who had... I was trying to throw him in a quandary, trying to test his resolve because he said the best reason why he believed in God was the Bible. So I said, all right, you realize there was a time before the Bible was written since it talks about the stories that are happening. They weren't written before they happened. They were written after. So you're saying there was a time where there was no Bible, right? He says, yes. And I'm like, well, then would you have believed in the existence of God without it? His answer started with, well, the Bible, I could not break through. The book was there to protect him. It's like, I just have to rely on this thing. I believe it's true. It's the magical book of power. It's the fucking... What's that magical book that Merlin has?
Merlin has a magical book? I don't think he. I don't
think.
Bad
nerd.
Yeah, you're.
It starts with a G, the Grimacon or something like that, or no?
His grimoire of spells. I don't think he has a book, unless you're talking about one of those lame TV fucking versions of Merlin. I don't know. I'm the first to admit that even though I have extensive fantasy reading experience, Merlin is one of those areas where it's like, no, like wizards with big beards and top hats and stuff like that, or whatever those dunce cap style ones are, I'm not big onto that, so I can't really tell you, unfortunately.
I swear to you, those kinds of wizards are probably the gay wizards of the wizard world, the ones that really sort of dress up with that whole top hat thing, because, no. I don't buy it. You're not really a wizard. You entertain at kids' parties. That's what you do. This is a clown outfit. This is a clown outfit, and that's the only one that stuck with us. Because why? Watching cartoons, I think, warped my mind. Made me see that wizards were all people in blue kind of like suits with top hats that have stars and Saturns on them. Am I breaking through here? Is this what a wizard looks like?
I think it all was doomed the second that got, like, set as the cheap Halloween costume version of a wizard.
Yeah, Halloween ruins... all. Yeah, Halloween ruins creativity. I think that's what we learned about Halloween.
But getting back to the Bible, you're saying it's annoying. I kind of love it. I have two ways of looking at it. It's bad, probably, because once you get one of those magic books that locks everything in place, you kind of date your religion, and it's kind of stuck in that era. And that's the reason we have all these Stone Age precepts that are kind of gunking everything up.
True.
But on the other hand, now you got all these Stone Age precepts that are gunking everything up, and it basically puts an expiry date on religion. And you're constantly seeing it nowadays as civilization bumps up against all these things in the Bible. We're like, I really enjoyed the best part of the entire Ray Comfort podcast was when the guys called him on all the, you know, God says slaves are okay. Don't worry about slaves. You're allowed to have slaves. You're allowed to beat them so long as they don't immediately die afterwards. And that was a really awesome knock. And it's great that we have the Bible around with all the stupid shit in it that we can always go back to and say, look at what a dick face your God is.
Yeah, you know why you like it? Because you're vengeful. That's why you like it. You're a vengeful person. Mm-hmm. I can respect that, though. Okay, let's go back to Ray Comfort. Here's something else that they didn't talk about where I don't know if I would have jumped down his throat. Because I'm not even sure if I would have had the sort of same conversation.
No, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. It got contentious, and it got, like, unfortunately contentious, because it was to the point where they weren't letting each other, answer each other's questions. It was more nitpicking into the parts of their discussion rather than the overarching. It would have been cool if they're like, here's what I believe, and the other person says, here's what I believe. We knew going into this nobody would end up, you know, agreeing with the other person, so why make it so disagreeable?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Now you've given me a desire to interview Ray Comfort, and instead of saying, I want Ray Comfort to tell me not about his ideas, but to tell me about Ray Comfort. I'm like, tell me about yourself, Ray. I want to understand how whatever it is, the cavity in your head that you call a brain, how does that work? I want to know.
He had mentioned something very interesting during the podcast about how he gave a specific date. He was like, December 23rd, 1953 at 1:30 a.m. in the morning is when I got when I realized God was it. And I'm like, that sounds like an interesting story.
That is
story.
A fucking story and a half. You know what? I'm just putting that. I'm writing that in my invisible typewriter, tapping it up. This is a question I'm going to never ask.
It might be available in one of his in one of his Ways of the Master cassette tapes or in one of his books. I'm sure his conversion story. I mean, it sounded like he kind of like that. That's obviously one of those things where somebody, you know, you're at a party and somebody says something to you about something that they did or something specific. It's obviously they're kind of fishing for you to nibble at that hook and ask the question so they can tell you that awesome story that they got. So I'm sure it's out there. Just Google it. Just look it up.
Yeah, everybody's got that little, I got an awesome story that if ever I get anybody's attention, I'm just going to say, and it's going to be my night. Oh, yeah.
I want to know more about his time with, like, Kirk Cameron, because there is a crazy born-again Christian. And, you know, I would love to know how close they are. Hear some stories. See if Ray Comfort knows anything about it. You know that Kirk Cameron, when he was on Growing Pains, near the end of the show. By the end of the show, he was like demanding all sorts of crazy rewrites. His character was supposed to marry the longtime girlfriend in the show, and because the actress had done something which he deemed unchristianly or something, he had the whole situation changed around. It was quite hilarious. It sounds like there could be some very interesting, you know, stories about Kirk Cameron that Ray Comfort could tell.
I also want to know if the relationship is similar to kind of Batman and Robin. You know, if there's that kind of dynamic going on, it's like I'm gonna ask him: is he your Robin?
Obi-Wan and Anakin or something.
Yeah, what would be sort of like the closest? Because, I mean, his whole thing is called Way of the Master, right? I'm like, you must think, at least as this whole voice, as the lead of this master, does that make you the master of the Way of the Master? What's the, what do you designate yourself? What do you have on a business card? These are the things I want to know. Anyways, maybe I'll do an interview. I can imagine, I'm not going to have the interview to talk him out of his crazy, nonsense. I, in fact, am sort of like the biggest fan. I got a fan from, I think, New Zealand, who sent me a fucking the Origin of Species thing that he wrote the foreword to. It's hilarious. And I want the evidence Bible. It looks like it's like the Bible for dummies with pictures and stuff like that. It looks absolutely hilarious. I want to add it to my sort of like the kind of shelf of crap. You know, where we got that guy who sent us that crazy end of the world shit that's coming up.
Oh, there are gigantic sections in like Christian bookstores that are devoted to like apocalyptic Christian theology, and it's all just this insane, and it's put together by people who self-publish, and they have such a minute understanding of Photoshop that the covers are just amazing. And I'm sure it all just goes downhill from there.
Well, you know,
but I agree. There's tons of books like that I want to pick up. Like Ray Comfort has a book that's all about how to deflect arguments by atheists, and I'd love to hear it, because obviously hearing this interview, you realize how bad he himself is, so I would just love to read what the arguments that he has down on paper are.
Well, he is in his own right a fascinating character, and, you know, he's shrewd. Anyone who doesn't think he's shrewd has not seen sort of, like, he gets professional graphic people to work with him. His whole, like, you know how he does the whole track thing? He sells them in dollar bills with cartoon of famous people on it, so something that people might want. Just because who doesn't like kitschy bullshit? And in the back, it's just some kind of like Bible verse, and that's something that he offers. That's a product that he makes, and he's pretty successful at doing it. So the man is shrewd, and you watch one of his videos; they're still well produced. So he's not a fool. He's not a fool. It's just he believes in such hilarious, foolish things that I got to say, I'm kind of a fan.
Yeah, oh, I don't know about the whole shrewdness thing. The way I look at it is that Ray Comfort is able to operate inside of the bubble, the Christian bubble, very effectively. But, you know, listening to this atheist experience conversation, it seems to me that once you take him outside of it, I mean, this is a guy who didn't understand the difference between pro-lifers like voting to take away abortion rights. He doesn't see that, like, he thinks that voting to keep abortion rights is the same, in that it takes away something from him and the people who don't want abortions to happen. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Well, he's locked into his particular point of view, and those points of view are highly have a lot of contradictions and a lot of problems. But it doesn't stop a person from, like I said, from being shrewd. A fox is clever. It is devious. It tries to achieve something. What he reminds me of is, you ever meet these guys who are the smartest people in a room of stupid idiots? Like the king of the idiots, basically.
Sure.
This is what I see in Ray Comfort. Like, whenever he talks, he reminds me of someone who has a kind of, he has enough charisma and enough intelligence to be smarter than most of the people around him, and therefore has enough, like, gravitas, almost authority, that you're just going to believe whatever comes out of his mouth. So he has that ability, and you can't underestimate how many people really are stupid. Like, they could just listen to that and be like, wow, those are convincing arguments, because I've never come up with any arguments of my own. It is amazing and unbelievable how little people actually do in order to expand their own minds, to think about questions they never even thought of. This is difficult. This is not an impulse that comes naturally. We tend to, I think we crush it to some degree, if it was ever there. But it's, I can guarantee you it's not there for most people right now. It's just not. So he can still be compelling to those people. I think that he finds some success because I think he makes probably a lot of money doing what he does. I think I can smell some money being generated there. It's not, at least from the way he dresses, but I'm assuming he's not that dumb. Like I said, he's shrewd like a fox. Shrewd like a fox. Okay, but here's something that he has said, which, I was trying to understand maybe his frame of mind coming up with this, where he says that even the world's smartest man can't create a grain of sand, was a kind of an argument that he was bringing forward, is this whole idea that, something can't create itself, and we can't seem to be able to create anything that isn't already created. Ergo, my invisible friend did it. And it's just kind of funny the way that the entire conversation that he was having with the Atheist Experience guys were mainly to kind of deal with this whole business of creation. Like, when he talks, and this is the problem you probably have whenever you're talking to someone who's highly religious, is when you talk to them, they will call everything a creation, and that makes it very easy for them to basically say, well, there is a creator, because this is a creation, and creations need creators, and I have proven my point. It's very frustrating, because we use that vernacular in every day whenever we talk about things. You know, if we talk about a paradise, we may talk about a Garden of Eden. You know, it's just part of our vocabulary. And they use that as though, sort of like, no, this is real. Yeah. These kinds of vernaculars, the way that language works, they're saying like, no, this is not just language. This is for reals. Garden of Eden happened, was real. And you're like, no, it's just turn of a phrase, man. We don't really mean that shit. But for them, it's all really literal. And that's the other side of Ray Comfort, because in his desire, in his need for his religion to be right, he's very literal. It's just that he's literal in his interpretation of what he's read.
Yeah. This whole, you know, creation needing a creator. And I just love how nothing could exist before a creator came along just magically who could create everything just instantly. I like how that works. That's how it always falls down. And anytime anybody talks about that whole can't make something out of nothing except God, I'm just like, ugh.
I know.
On its face, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It really is. Where did this God come from? What's he all about? Was he always like this? Well, he's just God. He's always there. Well, who created him? Nobody. Then, wait.
My answer to that would be, who? Who? Describe to me this. Oh, we begin 2,000 years ago. I'm sorry, what? You're trying to explain to me how the universe came about, and the story for that starts like 2,000 years ago. I think you need to check your facts here. There is some. I'll give you that. At least the story hasn't changed. Well, recently, and by recently, I mean as recently as the King James Version, as recently as that translation, things have changed. Things are always changing in the Bible, but I guess at least for some people, it's been a little while. Has not changed. So actually, wait, it has. There's new fucking versions and retranslations have popped up. Yep, it's constantly changing. This constantly changing word of the Lord tells me everything I need to know, Ryan. Everything.
And don't forget, there are literally thousands of different versions of the Bible, each with their own like little liner notes telling you how to interpret every single line in the Bible, how to look at it this way and that. Hey, this one's against buttfuckery. This one here is what tells you where abortion is wrong, and so on and so forth.
Yep, and you would be surprised. Like, I actually think that they should make just a list for people. Because I think that if they actually went and they read some of the reasoning behind some of the beliefs that they have, they would probably be shocked. They were like, I certainly wouldn't interpret it that way. Like, try to interpret it for yourself and not come out of it being like, wow, that was hard. I don't know how to square any of that away. That was a lot of confusing nonsense. That's what you're going to come out of it. Here's another way that I just love this. If you've ever gone to the Way of the Master site, you'll always see that they talk about trying to get people to move out of the realm of the intellect. This is their own words here. I'm not paraphrasing. What is that noise?
That's the cat.
Oh. God, that's a horrible noise. Is it like dying now?
No, he's just, I don't know. He's staring at me, meowing at me. He wants something, but nothing at the same time. It's a state of catness.
Oh, yeah. There's a cat that's doing something similar right now in Carlos's apartment. It is such a raggedy-ass cat. I wish I could explain to you. This cat is like 15 years old, doesn't want to lick itself anymore. You pick it up, and it's a disgusting ball of, or series of balls held together with just bones and sinew. It's just yuck. Picking that thing up is nightmarish.
Yeah, it's really easy to get a shitty cat. You know what I mean? It's like, when you get a good cat, you're very happy, but there's a lot of, like, cats where you're just like, yeah, this is my cat. Got it dead. For the next 15 years, or possibly 20, when you get a really bad cat, they usually hang around way too long, cost too much in vet bills, and just really suck.
There's always a couple duds. Yeah, the light bulbs that you get, some of them don't turn on when you put them in, do they? Always a few duds. Yeah, so the whole realm of the interlike thing that they talk about, really, you don't even I don't even have to spell it out for you. What they're trying to say is, yes, people can disprove things to you using intellect, i.e. reason or knowledge. So they say, well, real knowledge comes instead from experiences. You know, the kinds that are confusing or leave us scarred, or just even sometimes where we think we get it, but something entirely different happened, but we remembered it one whatever way we fucking wanted to remember it. Yeah, that whole process. So apparently this is the way of knowing things. And this is sort of what he basically says is common sense. And this common sense is what Ray Comfort wants you to use when you're doing science. Because that's what he believes the science is. And this is why you have that problem when you're talking to this man. And you're like, that's what science is. How are you supposed to have a discussion with a person who thinks that common sense is what you need to do science? I mean, how many times have you just sort of thought to yourself, you know, this general relativity thing, man, that makes a lot of common sense to me. Or a quantum mechanics. Yep. Good old common sense is being applied in the quantum world. That's what I hear from everyone who's ever studied that. They're like, I just have to, whenever I don't know what's happening with electrons or what have you, I just use common sense and I figure it out.
I just really feel what it is as opposed to mathematically sort it out. It's just easier that way. And it feels
really
right.
Yeah. It does feel right. So long as you ignore the beaker exploding beside you, or the collider, the particle accelerator exploding, because you had a gut feeling about quantum mechanics. Not really the basis for it. And you know, that's the funny thing about science too. When you think about it, it has changed away from this kind of whole gentlemanly common sense using, you know, some really quite pathetic materials and observations from the natural world to make assumptions. We're past that bullshit. That was when it was called naturalism, man. And naturalism had to go away because you're like, all right, well, that's enough of your musings when poking a leaf with a stick, buddy. But we got to kind of get some instruments on and get this bitch rolling. Can we learn something here that has some fucking merit other than your musings about how many fucking elements there are? Based on nothing, no information. Come on now.
But based on a Pokemon-like understanding of nature.
Exactly. I mean, I don't want to diss the sort of like gentleman scientist, because trust me, a lot of the work of science had to be done by these guys, because it's not like as if there were any institutions that were being paid to do lots of thinking around. So like, if you're going to do some thinking, think about how many angels go on the head of a pin. And don't come up with any answers, or we might burn you at a stake. So that's kind of like, yeah, that's your intellectual opportunities right there. So might as well fucking discover about the natural world, because as far as everyone else is concerned, who gives a shit about it, right? You're going to die. This is just sort of like some weird bus station where you're waiting to go to fucking Magical Fun Playland. So you better focus on all the fun things you're going to do in Playland and forget about everything that's happening here on the this lame-ass bus station in Cincinnati. That's what that is.
Man, I remember that lame-ass bus station in Cincinnati you were referring to.
Yeah, yeah. Remember that guy with, like, the crazy cork in his chest? Like, that crack addict who's going to just totally murder us?
Yeah. I also remember, like, the 7-foot-tall, 400-pound man that I had to sit next to for the, like, 10-hour bus ride home.
Well, I remember the racist cop who wanted to sort of, like, just jam with me about, you know, whatever racist thing was going on through his mind and be like, why don't we just leave those coons in the back of the bus or something? I don't even know what he was saying. I'm like, I have to ignore whatever poison is going to come out of your ignorant mouth, sir. It's like, thank you very much. Oh, I guess I'm white, so you better come over to me and say, like, hey, you're a brother. Oh, I sure am, mustachioed Nazi.
In his defense, you know, us together, we do look like skinheads, so.
Yeah, we look like a skinhead gay couple, though.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
All right, should we move out of Ray Comfort? Do you think we're done? Do you think we're done?
Yeah, yeah. Anybody that wants to check out the Ray Comfort interview can do so. It's decent. As I said, it's a little bit contentious, and if you're feeling halfway through like they're yelling over each other, it's getting a bit unpleasant, you can stop it halfway through because that's how it does go for the rest of the way.
Yeah, I did have to stop it a few times. I will admit it kind of grates on me just a little bit. But, you know, anytime there's, I think that's the whole thing, you know, there's conflict during the Atheist Experience. I think that the Atheist Experience occasionally makes me a little bit, it's a little bit hard to listen to, because you're having to listen to people who are just not going to change their opinions and who say stupid things. It's necessary to do, but I always feel, okay, did you watch that Ricky Gervais show, the one on HBO? I can't watch that shit. You know why?
Why?
Because they make the entire time they make fun of his round-headed dummy friend. That's what they just do. They embarrass him by pointing out how stupid he is. And occasionally he's really quite hilarious in his stupidity, I will admit. But all I can remember is just how big of a dick Ricky Gervais and his friend are. I just think of them as gigantic dicks. I'm like, you know what? That was enough. Enough with your fucking... I can't stand it. I can stand it no more. So sometimes when you listen to someone who's just stupid, maybe it will cause you to just say, like, I can't deal with it anymore. I just need to have a nice corner to just chill out in and not have to worry about anyone who disagrees with me on certain points, because it's grating. It's grating. And you know what? That reminds me of a nice letter from a fan that I'm going to read out loud, just because to say a nice thing since we didn't win. Brittany wrote... Oh, so I listened to both podcasts because I was saying that the Atheist Experience was doing good work. I said, while I do congratulate the Experience for their win, I have to at least tell you guys you're far superior. Oh, I like that word. When it comes to likability and comic relief, which for most atheists is more beneficial than debating the existence of a god. When I've had a stressful day, I'd much rather have my good atheist crack than more fighting on the Atheist Experience. Keep up the good work, guys. Aw, yeah, that's feeling the love right there. It may kind of skew her appreciation for the show because she did win a free membership from the Andy Scott Broke-Ass Scholarship. So she may, her opinion may be tainted, though. I just want to put that out there.
She's just riding high on the amazing fandom experience right now. We haven't disappointed her yet.
There's plenty of time to disappoint her. There's plenty of that time.
Yeah, no, sooner or later we'll get there.
I mean, the last thing I want to talk about, it's maybe more of the let's beat a dead horse, but I'm probably have to do some rant about this because it was just one of those things where you, when you read it, you don't actually think it's quite possible for you to become even more annoyed at what the Catholic Church can do. But the Vatican recently petitioned the UN, the Human Rights Council, saying that they were being discriminated against by people in society, in modern Western society, for their views on homosexuality. So, and here's one of the lines he says, one of the priests who was there, I don't care what his name is, when they express their moral beliefs or beliefs about human nature, they are stigmatized and worse, they're vilified and persecuted. So this is talking about Catholics who have some bigoted things to say about gays. So they're going over to the UN and they're like, hey, can you do some about this?
You're seeing this more and more. This isn't the first time we brought this up. We were talking about, like, out in Alberta or British Columbia or something like that. There was that that bed and breakfast place who didn't want to let the gay people stay there, and they were brought up into court over that. And it's happening over, and you know, they're saying, hey, we have a right to hate gay people. So, and over and over, or at least in Canada, it worked out that the government was like, no, nah, not really.
Well, they don't actually. The Charter of Rights and Freedoms does not guarantee you that. That right. You can't actually discriminate against race, gender, or sexual orientation. That's in the actual. That's in the bill. That's you just like that's the government that you live in. You can't do that. Even when I wrote in New Brunswick, where there was this florist lady, and she didn't want to give services to a same-sex couple, and she was like, it's against my beliefs. And you're like, well, it's against the law, actually. And I said, I don't know if we need to necessarily use that law, because the law exists to make people aware that that's not okay. I still think that there's more to be done by just shaming these establishments, like a strong amount of shame. Like, you got to shame Grandpa. You can't jail Grandpa. When Grandpa says something embarrassing, you're like, oh, why do you keep saying this? You're an embarrassment of the family, Grandpa.
Yeah. This is we're going to see this more and more and more. It'll always be very enjoyable because we'll always come out on top, and it'll always make religious people look like intolerant douchebags. I quite enjoy it. I mean, how delicious is it that the Vatican went up to the UN and said that they should be allowed to be mean to homosexuals? I mean, shouldn't they be every opportunity that they get to kind of bring everything back together? And, you know, I'm sure they could find stuff from Jesus that would allow them, you know. Everybody's always looking at the Bible, and they cherry pick the one thing that basically says, oh, you know, sodomizers are horrible and whatever else like that. There's stuff that Jesus said. New Testament, man, you can ignore practically everything in the Old Testament because Jesus said something else. Just pick something, go with it, make it your new policy, swipe the other stuff under the rug like you've done many times before with other stuff that didn't add up anymore, like divorce and etc., and just roll with it. But they continue to hold back, and I love it because I've said it before and I'll say it again, this homophobic thing, it's going to be one of the big it's going to be probably going to be the straw that broke the camel's back as far as just everybody, like the next generation. Jesus, they are so integrated and just culturally brought up to be okay with homosexuals that there's nothing more ignorant sounding than the church's opinion on gay people.
If you want a really good example of that, of the way that's changing, watch comedy from like the 1980s, the early 80s, and see if you don't sort of like really become uncomfortable, especially with just the amount of like really bad homophobic shit that just comes out.
Eddie Murphy has like 20 minutes or 30 minutes, and I don't remember if it was Delirious or Raw, where he's talking about being afraid of homosexuals having sex with him and raping him. And it's quite ridiculous. It is, it's impressively ignorant.
it'll come back to haunt you in a new world. You got to kind of be ready for that. Here's something I found that was kind of ironic, too, about the whole UN thing. Is a few months ago, or maybe it was about a year ago, I don't remember how long, but they were trying to amend some kind of charter, some UN charter that dealt with hate crime, and were attempting to remove, I don't know if they were successful, I'd have to look it up, but they were attempting to remove the protection against, for homosexuals, protections for gays. So I think that in light of the Vatican going to the UN and saying, help, we're being discriminated against, the people that you don't think are worthy of being protected, protect us. It's sort of like, what? That is amazing. That's some brass balls. You need some fucking brass balls for that shit. And they definitely have it, man. I mean, this is still the same organization that has been raping kids and kidnapping them. Remember that story in Spain I talked about a little while ago?
Yeah.
Where the Catholic Church was kidnapping babies and giving them over to families, or selling them over to families that weren't single mothers or non-believers. I'm like, congratulations. You've done it again. You keep outdoing yourself. I mean, I don't even know how it's possible. What could you do worse? Maybe we could just... Here's what I imagine. We find out that some kind of advanced alien civilization had come down to Earth roughly around the Middle Ages to try to make peace, and they killed the messenger, and the aliens are just like, we're getting the fuck out of here. We're going to let you be part of our galactic empire, but you were just a bunch of crazy abusive fucks, so we got the fuck out of there. I tell you, something like
I think, man. I think it's actually an impressive testament to how horrible the things that they've already been caught doing are, that we have to go as ridiculous as alien aliens came and we and the church chased them away to find something worse than, you know, the child rape and the child kidnapping and, you know, enslaving women, which they also did. You know, you hear about Ireland, the Magdalen asylums, which were basically, you know, uppity girls got sent there to basically be washermaids for the church. And they were basically trapped there until they either died of insanity or were penitent enough to be deemed okay to leave. And, you know, all of these things that they've done, I consider myself a relatively creative person, but I can't think of, I was thinking, what's the next thing they're going to get caught doing? Like, I'm sure it's going to be something from the, you know, 60s, 70s, you know. But what will the next uncovering be? And I'm trying to think about it and how it could be worse than already what's already been uncovered, and I can't, even as creative as I am.
I think it's going to be something that's going to surprise you coming out of Nigeria or something like that. It's going to really disgust you. It's going to really
disgust
you. You're
right. You're right. I bet you they're going to find all sorts of crazy stuff about, like, you know, doing these, like, hole diggings and, you know, stonings and stuff like that. Maybe something like that. Oh, God.
Oh,
I never even thought about the horrors of what was going on in Africa. Eesh.
I know, you don't think about that shit, but it's real, it's happening. It's just, it's the kind of thing where if I really was this fantastical, and trust me, it's not like I think that this is a possibility of something they did, this alien coming down and trying to be, like, friends with us or whatever. No, I don't think this is a highly possible or probable. I'm just saying that this is as creative as I can be. I can't get to that next level of I'm not that dark. Just not that dark. I guess I don't have it in me to be that evil and that cruel to just come up with a new way to shock us. I wish I could. I mean, I could almost tell you, like, I wish what would make people feel at some degree where it's like, oh, is it now? Now is the time to get mad at all this? Maybe now?
Maybe? Well, we've forgotten another place. What about Russia? Eastern Europe and going further along? Because if you notice, like, where all of these horrific stories are coming out, you know, Western Europe, North America, South America a little bit, but coming out more and more. But I got to figure some horrific things happened in Russia. Some really horrific things.
Oh, I don't even want to think. No, you're just going to depress me. I'm gonna go and try to rest, and then I'm going to just hear the sounds of crying Russian children as they become tortured. But again, I mean, we probably know that this happened. I can't be more imaginative than their terrible little screams as they... As they are molested. Why is no one doing more about this? I don't know. Am I going to feel weird having listened to myself having this conversation a day where even something like justice is possible? Where just so people say enough is enough? Where they're like, I'm not, even though I was somewhat of a believer, I just had to put it aside and say no to you, institution. That was it. That was the final straw. That we had enough. We just had enough. We knew that if we just abandoned you, nothing fundamentally would change about ourselves. Perhaps we would just actually be more tolerant of other people. We would just be a better society if you weren't around telling people not to wear fucking pieces of rubber on their dicks or to shelter pedophiles. Maybe we don't need that. Maybe we just don't need that. Just going to put that out there. I feel like I'm on crazy pills here. It's like, am I breaking through? Is there anybody here that's sort of breaking through that was Catholic and be like, holy shit, what was I thinking about? What are you thinking now if that hasn't even convinced you? What do you need? Please tell me. Please, just write to me. Write to me. Jake at thegoodatheist.net. I want to know.
It always surprises me how everybody's quite outraged, and then we wait for something to happen about it, and then nothing does. Again, I blame Michael Jackson. Dude died at the wrong goddamn time.
Okay. All right. Well, it's poetic justice that creepy, fucking inappropriate man should prevent us from prosecuting child molesters. I like it.
Indeed.
I like it. Okay, well, you know what? I think that's we'll wrap up the show. We're going to, as soon as I get back to Canada, and I'm not quite sure when I'll be, did you send the stuff I asked you to send over to the address in Calgary?
Yep, shipped it out a couple hours ago.
All right, excellent. So whenever I get that, there might be a little bit of a delay in content, folks, as I'm transitioning. I'm going to be in Newark Airport Wednesday, and then Calgary on Thursday. So anybody that's in Calgary, by the way, I'm going to be doing stuff as soon as the weather clears up. I'm going to be doing some events, including hopefully a barbecue that I want to see if I can sort of set up as a thing, like where we just do barbecues because I enjoy them, and I would love to hook up with people that listen to the show in Calgary because I'm going to be there for a while. So I want to.
And I bet you our barbecues are going to be so much better than the Atheist Experiences barbecues. Those bastards.
Yeah, well, we got to compete, right? We got to fucking compete. But I make a killer.
Fight food with food.
Yeah, well, I'm a killer chef, so I'm going to lay down some recipes, and I'm going to bribe people with food, is what I figure. Bribe them with food so that next year we get that award. We get number one. We turn out to be number one.
You should do like a holy trinity of like what are they called? Like a chidurkin, where it's a turkey with a chicken inside, with a duck inside.
Dude, man,
and you can make some kind of religious.
What am I, a millionaire? What the fuck is wrong with you? Hot dogs, man. It's gonna be some probably hot dogs.
Yeah, you're totally gonna win people over with that. Come all over right. for pig snout and horse hoof. Don't be skeptical about what's in the meat. Just like religion, they say don't look too closely into this. Don't think too much about what you're doing.
Can I tell you why? Can I tell you the different reasons why I hate you? Or can this wait for another show? Huh?
Well, I'm just saying that there's religious analogies that you can make about the hot dogs too.
All right, just shut your mouth. We're gonna end the show. All right, my name is Jacob Forte,
and I'm Ryan Harkness.
Have a good Atheist Day, everybody.